Today is March 22nd, 2026. Current Bitcoin price is $68,822.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Man, Rick, you know, every time we go to record, price is right back about where it was.
I mean, it could be a lot worse. I mean, remember when we kept coming back and coming back, and each time the price is a little bit lower?
A little bit lower every time?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty recent. So, I mean, just hanging out in the 67 to 69 neighborhood, nice.
Nice.
Can't complain.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, man. Like, everything is so topsy-turvy. I mean, and it would be one thing if we could blame everything just on, like, well, we're in a bear market. Bitcoin's not doing so hot. But it's everything. And I think we'll kind of look at that. Like, we were talking before, gold is even down. You know what's up the highest, according to the charts that I'm looking at, is the VIX.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it's in the double-digit zone. It's at 11% in the green. So, yeah, when the VIX is going up like that, that's when you know everything else is kind of at a bad time. Dow Jones is at 45. NASDAQ is at 23. Gold is at 44.91. Silver's at 67. Oil's, you know, $98.10, because that's what we love to see. And I hope people understand I'm being sarcastic there.
Yeah. Well, at least we don't live in California with $6 gas now.
Jesus, yeah. That is absolutely true. I mean, this isn't the highest gas prices I've ever seen. Like, I'm not like, oh my God, I've never seen gas prices so high.
Nah.
Just, it's not good all the way around for inflation and cost of goods and everything else. Like, everything's going to be getting hurt by this.
Absolutely.
How are our theoreticals looking?
Well, they've been better. They've been worse. Today's price is $68,822. The first theoretical purchase is back in October 2023. $3,000 could have bought you 0.0885 Bitcoin, and that $3,000 investment is now worth $6,091. So still doubled. We saw it get up to basically $9,000 before, but, you know.
Yeah.
We'll take the doubling for now. The second theoretical back in the halving, which was April 19th, 2024, basically we're getting close to 2 years from that point. And the price of Bitcoin was $64,000. $1,000 could have bought you 0.01564 Bitcoin, and that $1,000 investment's worth $1,076.
Oh, man. Man, that doesn't look good. I mean, it's, I don't know, I guess it's to be expected. I'm still like, so, and I want to ask you this, and I want your honest opinion. Like, we've talked about how, you know, obviously, okay, we peaked. It seems like we're going into the bear cycle that is typical for Bitcoin. Where do you think we'd be right now if we didn't have this war going on?
Honestly, I think it would have gone down further.
You think so? It's a good point. We did see a big increase in purchases, especially from Iran, during this whole time.
Well, not just Iran, but like all the Middle East states, if you're trying to, like, say you're in living in Dubai or something, and, you know, they're getting bombed by Iran, and you're wanting to leave, and say you're not necessarily a citizen of Dubai, most people aren't, they're just economic tourists in a way. Yeah, if you try to leave, they have capital controls, and you can't just walk out with all your money, or you can't walk out with all your gold. But you can do that with Bitcoin. So
yeah.
I think that gives people an option to at least leave, exit, and take as much of their wealth as possible.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Like, again, like the use case of Bitcoin rears its head again, right? In these types of situations, we're not seeing it climb like crazy. I mean, obviously we saw we got up to, was it 76 during the week, right around there?
Yes. Yeah, I hit about 76.
And I was really hoping we were going to get to record today and we'd be sitting at about 70,000, but that didn't happen. So we're right back, where we were almost 2 weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago. We were at 67,209. Now we're at 68,822, which is, I mean, that's rounding error.
That's $1,600 more.
Yeah. So yeah. And then we were looking at the ETF charts before we kind of got going, and it looks like the bleeding has slowed for sure.
Yeah.
But it's nothing.
Well, the last time we recorded, it was mostly red with just a few speckles of black in there.
Mm-hmm.
Here now it's, I wouldn't say 50-50. It's more black than red.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's just not resounding. Like, it's not huge purchases. But you know who's making some huge purchases?
Oh, I do.
Michael Saylor. And that was actually, we were going to record, we were going to try and record earlier in the week, and just because I know it's been almost 2 weeks since we did an episode, or it has been 2 weeks. Michael Saylor, he was like the biggest news that was going on the week before. That guy is buying like crazy.
You know, what's crazy is he's usually doesn't buy the dip. He's buying like before it goes down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was catching some of this dip here recently, so.
Yeah, so it's now listed that MicroStrategy now owns 761,068 Bitcoin. It's the largest Bitcoin corporate treasury on Earth. His latest acquisition was 22,337. So it's like, dude, he is on track. Like, he will end up getting to 1 million Bitcoin. And what'd you say? That was like, what was the percentage?
It was something like 3.5%
of the supply.
Of a total supply hand.
And also, and we didn't talk about this before the show began, but I think it was like 2 weeks ago, we actually did have the 20 millionth Bitcoin mined. So there's only 1 million left at this point.
Kind of crazy to think about.
And that's going to take till 2140. You and I will be dead and gone before those final coins are mined. But yeah, it is crazy to think about. 20 million have now been mined out. And now we're going to work on the last million.
Crazy.
It's nuts. There's not enough for everybody. That's all there is to it. Yeah, Saylor's ignoring what they call the gap volatility and focuses on two internal metrics. He's focusing on BTC gain, how many new BTC the company acquires per share, and BTC yield, the percentage increase per diluted share. So he's basically equated what they call the flywheel model for any of those that really don't quite know what it is. He issues preferred shares, uses proceeds to buy Bitcoin. BTC per share increases the price. Market rewards the strategy, issues more shares at the higher valuation, and continues to buy more Bitcoin.
Pretty ingenious little plan he's got here. I mean, it's risky though. Yeah, you know, it's balls to the wall. I mean, he's not scared at all, and I am a little bit scared in this for him. I don't know. I've mentioned this several times before, but man, if he goes down, that'll be a real bad day for Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I guess that's one major concern, is that if his company, like, God forbid something happened to Michael Saylor, like within the next, in the short term, like if it gets to the long term, I think if we get back into another bull cycle again, I don't know, man, with him locking up so much of the supply, because let's think about this. So there's 20 million out there now. If he ends up buying basically a million, 3.5%, we've lost another 6 to 8 million that'll be lost forever, approximately. Mm-hmm. I think, is that right? I think that sounds right.
Some in that neighborhood. Yeah, let's just call it six.
So that's 14 million, 13 million that's locked up basically right now. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, he could, if he's, as he continues to buy, and I don't know if he'll stop. Like, I think when he gets to a million, he would stop, but maybe he won't.
I don't know.
Does he control the floor, basically, is what happens with the price?
Maybe that's his goal. He's just going to own so much of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. He's saying, you know, this isn't fear, it's opportunity. He's saying a reason to buy. And like I said, I think for him, it helps reduce his overall average cost per share or per coin. But man, that is crazy. That is absolute. Like he is, and we've talked about him so many times on this podcast. He's definitely put it on the table and he's like, look at it. Do you like how they look? They're nice and they're shiny and they're like, they're pristine in the light.
How do you like them apples?
You like the literal apples that he's got on the table, and they're made of diamonds apparently. So, yeah, I guess maybe they're made of Bitcoin at this point.
Yeah, maybe.
That might be the more better way to look at that. The other thing too, obviously, we still have huge macroeconomic headwinds, especially considering all the stuff that's still going on in the Middle East. We were kind of talking about that before, and I think you bring up a good point, is that we probably would be lower in price at this point if it wasn't for that that took place. How long? So my next question is going to be to you. How long do you think this is going to last with us in the Middle East over there with Iran?
Well, with the United States and Iran, I mean, it's not us. We didn't decide to do that, obviously. But if you just look at what was coming out of the White House, like right after it happened, it was, this is going to be a short thing. And then like the next day, they're like, it might take 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've been in there 3 weeks now, over 3 weeks now, going on our fourth week. I don't know. I just don't think Iran is done. Because I don't think they have any reason to be done.
No.
Especially the new Ayatollah. I mean, the first strike that they did is they killed his family, like his father, his mom. I think even his wife was there and one of his sons. I'm not being sympathetic to the Iranian cause, but if I was in my position, let's just say I would have some very righteous anger.
Yeah, well, and I mean, what do you have to look forward to? I mean, if you think about that, you think of Omar Gaddafi, right? I think his name, right?
Yeah.
Or just, we'll call him Gaddafi.
Gaddafi.
Yeah. We know what happens. Like, if the people get to overthrow you, it's not going to be a good situation. You're not going to end up good anyway. So, I mean, you might as well just take down as many people as you can while you're going at it. Like, I mean, at some point, I think they were hoping a lot more from the Iranian people. But I mean, at the same time, what are they supposed to do? Like, I think I'm pretty sure guns are outlawed in Iran unless you are part of the military.
Yeah.
I don't think they're able to control weapons.
Yeah. I don't know. And that's the other side. I mean, if your country is attacked, like, you know, let's say, I don't know, either one of the presidents, the past two presidents, Trump or Biden, if some other country came in here, killed them, and tried to install somebody else as a leader, I think you would galvanize the population behind the leadership.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what America did. I mean, there are some protesters, and apparently they've been executing them. One of them was a 19-year-old wrestler. I mean, that's one a lot of people on Twitter were pointing at. I think a lot of the sentiment is now behind the regime.
Yeah.
That should be expected.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. I don't know where it's going to go, and I don't know what the way out is. The war continues to be kind of this looming threat on the markets. U.S., Israel, and Iran are continuing to trade threats and attacks. Markets are trying to flee to safety, and I think that's why you were saying, you know, Bitcoin probably would be in much dire straits right now if it wasn't for this conflict. So, you know, war risk leads to higher oil, leads to higher inflation expectations, which leads to tighter financial conditions, which leads to Bitcoin selling. But at the same time, it's getting purchased in some of those regions. Oil itself, it recently spiked over $100 a barrel before cooling slightly, and we've seen that a couple times. I think we've kind of seen the same effect with oil that we're seeing with Bitcoin in some ways, where oil will see a peak up, and then something, pressure gets relieved some way, somehow, whether it's political talks, whatever the case may be, and then it comes down again slightly. The Federal Reserve, it looks like it's going to turn hawkish again. They're saying that there's not going to be any rate cuts for 2026.
So I think there will be.
I think there will be too. I think that's scaring the market. I think they're going to have to. I think there's, I heard something that they were looking for another, was it $200 billion that the Department of War is looking from Congress to continue this. So money printers are going to go burr.
Yep. Yep. I think it's a good time to grab some Bitcoin still.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the other thing too. I mean, the world is pretty crazy right now. We had an embargo against Russia, and Trump actually lifted that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, and I'm sure he was more than happy to oblige. Oh,
he was. Well, actually, the really messed up one is India. We convinced India to stop buying oil from Russia because Russia was actually selling it to him at like a discount. It was like a 50% off discount was what Russia was selling to India. And after this, so we got them to cut it off. Then the United States and Israel attacked Iran. And now India needs that oil again from Russia. And it's like, yeah, we'll supply again, but it's going to be full price now. And yeah, Vladimir Putin's doing pretty all right.
Yeah, no, for sure.
The rest of Asia, probably not so much, because that's probably where they get most of their oil, and the Strait of Hormuz being shut down. I mean, it's a lot. There's no way to get the oil out. I mean, it goes through the Persian Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Man, very interesting.
I think it was something like 90% of China's oil comes from Iran, and something like, even like Japan still, it's, I want to say like 95% of their oil comes from Iran. So, yep. I mean.
Or at least through the Persian Gulf.
Yeah.
It all goes through the Persian Gulf.
Yeah, you're right. It's not necessarily just Iran, but it's like, man, oh man alive. And, you know, the crazy thing too is that with the Federal Reserve acting the way that they are, you know, they're signaling potentially that they're going to hike rates, which obviously is having the effect on the market that we're seeing. If inflation continues to increase, and then recession, we've talked about that. You know, there's an increase in recession probability. I don't know why they're not quite saying that we're there yet. But the risk off behavior, liquidity is tightening, you know, and Bitcoin is not seeing the rally that we'd expect. So I think everything is still
gold and silver though.
Yeah, no. And that's true too. Like gold, like what is that? That's, it was a huge loss over the past couple of weeks. Let me look at that chart real quick. Since we're talking
about the neighborhood of $800 to $1,000, right?
So in the past, let's see if we go back. Go away. So 52 on March 10th, 52.44. I mean, and now we're at 44. And then
$800.
From March 2nd, it looks like we were at 54.27, so $1,000 out of gold.
Wow. Okay. So 1,000. Yeah. So I, you know, that's kind of just endemic. I mean, looking at it, you know, I've been kind of calling for some type of economic fallout. And when that does happen, everything goes down.
Yeah.
Gold, silver, Bitcoin, everything. And it looks like we might have already crossed that threshold where things are going south. And if the longer this war goes down, I think the global economy is going to take a huge hit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to wreck everybody. And that is true of everybody. And I mean, I guess the big question becomes, and I know our focus on this podcast is Bitcoin, but what happens if Asia can't get its oil? What happens? We saw that happen in World War II. Japan wasn't able to get its oil.
And they attacked America.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's the thing. I mean, can Vladimir Putin in Russia, you know, supply the whole rest of the world in this time?
It's going to make him a very rich man.
Oh, they're going to be loaded.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be absolutely loaded.
All those years of recession type sanctions and war economy that they had going on, man, they're getting a floodgate that's going to open up. So,
well, and they're talking about cutting off Europe from sending them natural gas. And, you know, Europe relies on a lot of Russian natural gas anyway. So they're like, yeah, we're going to take it elsewhere. So, I mean, Europe's going to be screwed too. I mean, this is in another country that's really screwed, we don't even think about it, but it's Cuba. There has been no electricity there for several days, if not over a week.
And just out of curiosity on that, is that something that we did? Because I don't know for sure. I haven't heard one way or the other.
Yes. When we took over Venezuela, yes, we did that. Because that's where they were getting their oil from.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's scary times, I think, all the way around. All the way around.
Yeah, all the way around. I wouldn't want to be in Cuba.
No.
Right now. And honestly, you don't want to be anywhere where there's no electricity. When the whole grid is down, that's going to be, I don't know, the best way to describe it. It's going to be like the purge on steroids.
Yeah.
If you do that long enough, so.
Absolutely. One last thing that I wanted to bring up is that it seems like there's some motion with the Clarity Act, but not much. So possibly, like, it sounds like they may have reached some sort of a compromise. It looks like they could look at markup sometime in April. Probably won't happen now in March. But I mean, that's at least some news on the Clarity Act. So yeah. Is there anything else you want to bring up today? I wish it was more sunshine and rainbows, but it's not. So.
Nope. But it's all interesting. So
it is all interesting. So, yeah, thank you all for listening. And we hope you all are able to keep a level head during these markets. Don't let your emotions get the better of you if you see your portfolio tanking. I was actually having a discussion with a guy this weekend, and he had a crypto stock, and I'm not going to bring up which one it was, but he had, it was, and I don't know what his initial investment was, but he had it go up to $228,000 on a one single purchase. And within the matter of 4 hours, it went down to $13,000. So I asked him, I said, did you lock in the loss? And he said, no. I said, well, good. I mean, hopefully it'll come back. I mean, the one thing that has been so odd this cycle is, man, we really did not get much of an altcoin season at all. So my heart goes out to everybody that was hoping for that.
Indeed. No, we were, we weren't against an altcoin season. We just didn't really see much happening. And, I can't really get behind altcoins. We're pretty much Bitcoin maximalists here.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason why I ever look at altcoins is because I'm like, maybe I can get more Bitcoin when I can sell it at the peak. But yeah, that did not, materialize in any way, shape, or form this last cycle. So, or at least not in any of the markets that I was in, but I don't pay enough attention to the altcoins to really know which one to get into. But yeah, that's all I've got on my side. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
That's it.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you all soon.
Bye.